This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Over 4 new babies are added to this earth every second, and the cumulative impacts add up. In this installment of WEMU's The Green Room, Barbara Lucas explores one of the most basic ways we can reduce the environmental footprints of our very smallest citizens.
Hello. Jennifer Canvasser is the proud mother of 3-year-old Zachary and 2-week-old Elijah.
Oh my goodness.
She's also an environmental health consultant with the Ecology Center of Ann Arbor. To minimize the use of resources and energy, she avoids buying new things. She shows me around their house, pointing out the many secondhand items.
So our diaper changing table we also got on Craigslist.
No disposable diapers here. She reaches for a cloth diaper wipe.
And we have all of our reusable wipes here, and we have a water bottle here. And so there's no chemicals or anything that we're putting on his little bum.
When shopping, she asks herself, do we really need it?
They only fit into their clothing for a short amount of time, and so it's, you know, get the most out of the clothes that we do have. And same things with toys and other baby products.
What's the baby product she's most happy to do without? Infant formula. She believes breast milk is far healthier and has no eco footprint as opposed to formula.
Just the packaging alone, and the washing of the bottles, and the manufacturing, and the production, and whatever is used to make the formula, especially if you're not using formula that's organic.
Dairy and soy production takes water and land. Cow methane is a potent greenhouse gas. Manure runoff can cause algal blooms. Jennifer points out that all this is bypassed with breastfeeding. But what about those who can't breastfeed, for medical reasons, or they've adopted? Jennifer has a ready answer.
Donor milk.
She says it's a growing trend. New moms with extra pump and share. Some donate informally via Facebook sites. Others go through a milk bank. In Michigan, there's only one at Bronson Hospital in Kalamazoo. The procedure for potential donors?
They call the Bronson's Mother's Milk Bank and they get screened and they have a blood test done.
Once they get clearance from the donor's doctor.
And then the mom sends in frozen milk to the milk bank, and it's pasteurized, and then the milk bank sends it back to the hospitals.
She says some preemies can't digest the formula that's given to them to boost their calories, such as Zachary's twin brother, Micah. He died of NEC, short for necrotizing enterocolitis, tissue death of the bowels.
Yeah. So that kind of started your campaign?
Right. Yeah.
After Micah's death, Jennifer founded the Necrotizing Enterocolitis Society at necsociety.org. The incidence of NEC goes down as use of breast milk goes up.
The quicker you can get these fragile babies out of the hospital and at home, which is more likely to happen when they're on breast milk diet than they are on formula, so hugely important for both health and environmental reasons.
The U.S. Department of Energy says that hospitals produce more than 2.5 times the carbon dioxide emissions of commercial office buildings.
The energy use and just the amount of trash and disposable items. I mean, my twins were in the hospital for a long time when they were born, and it was really disturbing to see how much trash every single day was created just by them being in the hospital. It's really sad.
She wants all lactating women to know about the donor programs.
I've known plenty of moms who have just thrown their milk away and just dumped it down the drain because they don't know what to do with it. And that's so sad to hear because there's so many fragile babies that need it.
12th floor.
One of these fragile babies is Michael, son of Mary and Graham Lapp. Michael was born 2 months prematurely.
It's okay. Aw, he's so cute.
Mary and baby Michael have been patients at Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor for 2 whole weeks.
Oh my gosh. I'm still in shock, to be honest. I don't think anyone expects their baby to come like 2 months early.
Because Michael's sucking reflex is underdeveloped, he has a nasal feeding tube. The nurse changes the tape on the line, and Michael does not like it. Mary's milk is insufficient, a common problem with premature births, despite pumping round the clock.
At the most I've ever gotten is like that much. So I have like about 3/4 of an ounce every time. Hey, better than nothing.
But Michael needs more, and Mary's insisting on donor milk instead of formula. She opens the mini fridge in their hospital room.
Here it is. It comes fresh from Kalamazoo. It gets delivered, shipped here every day.
Unfortunately, their insurance doesn't cover it. She says it costs them $10 each feeding, $80 a day, due to the high cost of running a milk bank.
A lot of the milk that we get, ironically, actually comes from donors in Ann Arbor that donate it here, and then it's shipped to Kalamazoo to be processed, and then we pay for it to be shipped back.
Even with the energy required to pasteurize and transport it, Mary feels donor milk's an environmental positive. She takes me to the formula storage room.
For each bottle here, this is like a disposable container. I mean, if you think about if your child goes through 8 of these a day.
But the health of her baby is her main concern. She believes breast milk is crucial to Michael to prevent food allergies and boost his immune system. Trouble is, unless donor milk's prescribed by doctors as medically necessary, insurance doesn't cover it. Their savings are running out. But what about breast milk for preventative reasons? I spoke with Dr. Paula Schreck with the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative, which encourages doctors to encourage breastfeeding. She says breastfed children have less otitis media, pneumonia, intestinal diseases,
decrease in the incidence of obesity and its subsequent complications, including things like hypertension and diabetes. For the mother, the benefits of breastfeeding include a decreased incidence of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and cardiovascular disease.
Less hospital time for mother and child means less toll on both humans and the earth. Dr. Schreck says societal norms need changing and finds the Hooter mentality frustrating.
You know, there's a whole restaurant chain that's very popular that it's considered to be a family restaurant. You can take kids there. They have a kids menu. They even have crayons. And no one has a problem with that. The same people will be horrified if someone breastfeeds in public.
Dr. Schreck says least likely to breastfeed are women of color or women with low incomes, populations most in need of breast milk's advantages. These groups are also most likely to give birth prematurely.
Hi. Hi, Kim. I'm Barbara.
Kim Updegrove is the director of the Mother's Milk Bank of Austin, Texas. She says their goal is to reduce the incidence of necrotizing enterocolitis in premature babies.
This is our teaching wall, and noises are because of freezers.
After a tour of the lab where milk is pasteurized and tested, she shows me the final product.
Milk that's ready to be sent to hospitals looks like this. Cute little 3-ounce bottles.
At 60,000 new preemies each year in the U.S.,
it's a challenge to get enough donors every day to donate enough milk for those babies.
She says on average, mothers of preemies provide only about half the milk their babies need. Should the balance be made up of purchased formula or human milk? Updegrove believes breast milk benefits mother, child, and earth.
Breastfeeding requires you optimally to eat healthy, to stay hydrated, and to remain with your infant. Those are cost-effective, easy things to do. And they don't leave a carbon footprint.
If you don't know, twinkle, so twinkle, twinkle, little tall, now I wonder what you are.
Yay!
Barbara Lucas, WEMU News.
The Green Room is a presentation of the WEMU News Department and is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. The Green Room is heard on the last Friday of every month as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.